Welcome back. The Quincy Quarry and Granite Workers Museum getting ready to kick off their new season. Actually, next weekend, April 4th, I believe, is the first opening day up at the Lyons Turning Mill. And the president, Albina, is here once again to tell us how things are going. There's a lot of changes. If you haven't been to the museum lately, you're not going to recognize it. Good to see you, Al.
Great to be here, Joe. It's always great to be here. You know that.
We love having you. And it's been a pleasure to tell your story the inception of this idea, really, as it started, just to pay tribute to the city's granite industry, to now a legitimate, permanent, fixed granite structure that is home to the museum, which was the wish all along, right?
Wish
the
all
goal
along,
all
yeah.
along, yeah.
You know, like I say, this was like something dropping out of heaven for us,
yes.
in a way. If it wasn't for the McDonald family to, you know, want to build a six-story apartment building at the site of the Granite House, it never would have happened.
Right.
So it was almost like I always say, it's like dropping out of heaven for us. You know?
So, and what we're talking about is an actual granite house that was disassembled from Willard Street, right?
Yes.
Moved over to the museum up on Quarry Hills Drive is the actual name of the street.
Right.
And then reassembled as your new home for the museum. And when you first started this idea, how long ago was it actually, Al, that you started this idea?
Well, I think it was about, I want to say about 12 years ago.
12 years,
yeah.
Okay. I remember I first asked you what would be your wish.
Wish, yeah.
And you said, if $1 million would drop out of the sky, we'd have a permanent home.
I can remember saying that.
And it did.
It did, yeah.
It really did, yeah. How do you feel about that?
I tell you, it's great.
Yeah.
You know, it's great to have some place now to keep this history of Quincy going. You know, it was a big part of the history of the city of Quincy. It was the largest employer back at the turn of the century.
Yes.
It really established Quincy, the Granite City.
Yes. Speaking of that, I'm glad you brought that up, because in the Quincy Historical Society's Quincy Book of Days, on this date, March 27th, 1827, so 199 years ago, the Granite Railway signed its first contract to carry stone.
Right.
So, there you go. So, almost 200 years
ago. Almost 200 years, yeah.
And here it is now, in stone.
In stone.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you read that article, we actually got the rail car, the replica of the original rail car that transported that granite down to the Ponce River.
Yes.
We have that at the museum now.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So it's been a busy fall and winter.
It's been very busy.
Despite the weather, right?
Despite the weather, yes.
Yeah. So what's going on?
Well, like I say, we're getting ready to open up in, the first weekend of April.
Yep.
Kind of unfortunately, in a way, we established that first full weekend every month through November.
Okay.
Never knowing that weekend will be Easter weekend.
Oh.
Because Easter kind of changes every year.
Yes, that's right.
But unfortunately, we will be open, So people will be able to go to their service or their mass, and then they'll come back and maybe view the museum.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
So open on Easter Sunday.
So we're going to be open on Easter Sunday.
Okay. All right, very good.
Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, excellent. And your volunteers will be there?
We'll be there,
show folks around?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. But before we talk about that, we have to talk about, because folks haven't been, they're not going to recognize it, right?
No, right.
It looks completely different.
Completely different.
Let's talk about the actual house that was moved from Willard Streets. It dates back to the
1830.
The beginning of the industry.
1830, yeah.
Okay.
Originally, there were four houses, granite houses in Quincy here. Three of them were located on the Granite Railway, the old original Granite Railway, which followed now. Well, it followed, the expressway follows the old route of the Granite Railway. So when they built the expressway, the other three granite houses were demolished.
Oh.
We lost them.
Okay.
So this was the last standing granite house in Quincy.
Wow.
And it was a big thing. Historically, it was a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, when the word came out that it was going to be torn down, there was a big kind of an outcry in the city of Quincy from all these people that loved history.
Yeah.
And the mayor got involved, and fortunately, we were able to move it up there, disassemble it, and actually move it up there and reassemble it. A lot of the stones were numbered, so it actually went back to the deck. It's not the two and a half stories of the original building, because it would have been cost prohibitive to do two and a half stories.
Okay.
So what we did is we enlarged the footprint of it. You're saving all that historic Quincy granite.
Yeah. Yeah. So you used all the granite, you just made it longer instead of taller.
Taller, right.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. We have some pictures.
Sure.
As always, you like to bring some show and tell.
Oh, definitely.
So we'll start off, we'll start with the wood frame that was needed before the granite could actually be added, right?
Right, yeah. You know, people think, well, it's just going to be a granite block house.
Yeah.
But actually, it has to have an interior. It has to have a wood structure
in the interior. Did the original have this too?
Oh, yeah.
It did.
The original,
okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, they had to build a wooden structure for us and then the granite around it.
Yeah, so they laid a concrete pad, it looks like.
Laid a concrete pad, yep. Again, this is one of the shots where they originally started the framing, you know.
Okay, and when they say they, who's building it, Al?
Kenny McElroy, I'm trying to think of the company's name.
Oh, I have it right here, just in case. It's Folsom?
Folsom is the general contractor.
Oh, okay, all right.
And then it was Kenny McElroy?
Okay.
McIsaac, was it? Kenny McIsaac.
Yes.
He was the guy, the carpenter, that did all the framing and the interior work.
Okay, all right. Yeah. And this is all done through a grant from the Community Preservation
Fund, yeah. We put a grant in and they okayed the grant.
Yeah.
And that's where the money really came from to do this granite house.
Yeah, almost $1 million, just like you foresaw
years ago. Yeah. You know, everything is so darn expensive today, it's amazing. But I mean, just to bring in the stonemasons, because not too many stonemasons that could actually reassemble this house.
Work with this stuff.
Work with this huge blocks of granite, you know. So, I mean, that was an expensive proposition
Sure. There's the roof framing.
There's the roof framing. Like I say, it was almost like building a house, and then again, the granite completely went around it.
Yeah, and this is all last fall when this started, is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Move on to the next one, and we can see the interior.
The interior. Yeah. Again, it had to be all framed interior, so we're going to have a great interior space now to do a lot more artifacts showing the history of the granite industry in Quincy.
Yeah.
And also, we can have presentations in there, you know.
So this would be, I mean, this is fully conditioned, it's heated, air conditioned, plumbed.
ADA compliant, completely ADA compliant.
Okay.
All the walkways will be ADA compliant,
okay.
So it'll be handicap accessible. It's great.
You know, restroom facilities, right?
Handicap accessible,
That's great. It's fantastic.
Yeah. In fact, the handicap bathroom is bigger than our little office.
Sure.
I mean, they get a great handicap bathroom in there now.
Nice.
You know? And again, it's going to be air conditioned and heated, so it'll be great.
Yeah. So does that mean it'll be open year round?
We could be open year round.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Depending on volunteer availability.
Again,
right?
Depending on volunteer.
Yeah. Let's take a look at the next one, and we see it's
there.
Done.
It is. Yeah, it's done. Yeah. You know, it's sitting on, if you go up there, the landscape has completely changed. You know, they had to completely change the landscape where the actual building went. So you wouldn't even recognize, if you went up there previously and saw our little museum, and you go up there today, the landscape here has really changed completely because of this stone house.
Yeah, did you have to clear a spot there for
had
this?
They had to clear a spot, There was nothing historically in the spot. We chose.
Mm-hmm.
We had an archaeology evaluation of the whole area, and there was nothing historic on this particular site, so we were allowed to do the building on this site.
Okay, and coincidentally, now there is something historic on the site. And that those doors that we see on the side
The double doors, that'll be the main entrance, handicap accessible.
Okay.
In fact, all the entrances will be handicap accessible.
Okay.
But this is the main entrance, the double door.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. When was this photo taken now?
This photo was probably taken about a month ago.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Okay.
It's even further along now, you know.
Sure.
I was up there yesterday. They got a great sign now that's posted on the building. And, you know, Quincy Quarry and Granite Workers Museum looks great. And I was sitting over there in my truck the other day, and I was looking at the roof. I said, gee, that almost looks like slate. They had these architectural slate-looking shingles, asphalt shingles. It almost looks like it's a slate roof, which really adds to the look of the actual building itself. You know?
Yeah. Would that have been original?
No, it wasn't original. No, but they added this because it kind of looked like a slate roof.
No, I mean when the house was first built, would it have had?
It would have had a slate roof. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That'd be cost prohibitive today, I'm sure. Yeah.
And all the windows basically are the same, so they kept the architectural integrity of the house, all the windows, the doors, the roof line, the roof pitch, all represented the original building, the original stone building.
Just made it a one-story.
Just made it a one-story, yeah, but enlarged the footprint.
Gotcha, okay, which probably is more conducive to a museum, right, for displays.
Yeah. Displays,
instead of having people having climbed stairs, or you probably would have had to put an elevator in.
Yeah, right.
Which is very expensive as well,
I
think we have a couple more I want to show folks.
Yeah.
And you have already some displays that are being worked on.
This is actually a display. I just want to mention that we have a new blacksmith shop. We established a new blacksmith shop, little building. We have a forge that was donated. A lot of the tools were donated.
Oh, really?
And by the Cantelli family.
Okay.
And we needed a hood for the forge. And I contacted Quincy Votech, and I asked them if students might be interested in actually fabricating this. And they were overwhelming. They said, we'd love to do it.
Oh, so students are making this.
The students are actually making this.
All right.
You know, so we're trying to get younger people involved.
Sure.
So, you know, this might be the stimulus that might just get a couple of people, you know, they worked on the hood, maybe said, gee, maybe I'm interested in that history, you know what I mean? So it's great that, like, the students are actually fabricating this hood for the forge.
Well, they might not even know what a forge is, right?
Right. So this is done in the metal fabrication area, so hopefully we can have all those kids visit the museum and actually see this in operation.
Absolutely.
The forge going, which will be great.
Wow. Where did the forge come from again? I'm sorry.
The Cantelli family.
Cantelli
family donated.
Did they work in the industry?
They worked in their grandfathers worked in the industry. Both the Cantelli boys, their grandfathers worked in the industry.
Nice.
And will Steve Cantelli and Danny Cantelli.
Okay, and is that separate from the granite structure, the forge?
Separate from the granite,
yes.
It's a standalone little blacksmith shop that we established.
Okay.
In its own building.
Because in the day, workers would have to make their own tools, right?
Oh, yeah. So we'll be able to bring in a blacksmith, put on demonstrations, how they sharpen the tools, how they made the tools, and give demonstrations in this little building, which will be great, too.
Yeah. I think we have a couple more I want to show folks before we're out of time.
That's the interior. You can see all the tools there, all the blacksmith pliers and everything, the vices, and the actual forge itself. It's a hand-cranked Air Force forge, which is, they used that back in the 1800s, and again, the kids are building the actual hood for that.
Okay.
So once we have the hood, we'll be able to do the stove piping, go to the outside, the chimney, and we'll be in business for a forge.
Wow. So it'll be an actual functioning
forge.
For folks who may have gone to, like, King Richard's Fair, you know, they have a demonstration similar to that.
That's hopefully we'll bring in,
craftsmen like that.
Yeah.
Here's your shed.
That's the blacksmith shed.
Okay.
That's the sit-alone blacksmith shed. You know, we got some great doors we can open up, and we can bring the blacksmithing to the outside in a way.
Yes.
You know what I mean? We can actually establish a little anvil on the outside if the blacksmith wants to bring out and show people how to do it or how we did it. But we also have an anvil in the building itself, too.
Yes.
A historic anvil that was actually used from the Cantelli family, used in the industry when his grandparents were blacksmith in the quarry industry.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. I think there's one more to look at here before we run out of time.
That's a little new display we just did. We're always trying to add new displays.
Yeah.
This is a new display we did showing the pneumatic tools that were used in the granite industry, in the quarry industry, or in the granite industry. And we embedded them in there was a big ledge.
I see that.
There was a big ledge right along the fence.
Yeah.
So we actually embedded them to show people all the different pneumatic tools that were actually used in quarrying and also in the granite shed area.
Okay.
You know? And we got an interpretive with it.
And these were operated by air?
Air, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, pneumatic. These are all pneumatic.
And in the day, where did they get their air supply from? How did that work?
Compressors. They had, you know, back then in the early days, in the later 1800s, compressors were established.
Okay.
They established compressed air. And then that was really, you know, when you think of compressed air in the granite industry, that was really the killer in the granite industry.
Really?
Once they went to compressed air, because primarily a granite worker would be chipping away, and all he'd do is be getting chips.
Mm-hmm.
Once pneumatic entered it, they entered the pneumatic tools and they operated so fast they created so much dust.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a killer, the consumption that the granite workers would have.
Oh, I see, okay.
You know, the lung disease that they would have later on. So it sped the operation up, it made it much better, but it was really a killer until they come up with a ventilation system.
Okay.
But the early granite workers, if you live to be in your early 50s or late 40s, that was old back then.
Wow.
Due to the fact of all this dust that they were inhaling, you know, so.
April 4th,
yep.
And Easter Sunday.
Easter Sunday. Saturday, we'll be open that Saturday and then Easter Sunday.
Okay, and get your copy of the
Granite Chips. Yep.
At your newsletter.
Yep.
I love to read it every time, Al.
All right. We love to drop them off to you, Joe, every time.
Really appreciate the update. Have a great season.
Well, we're chipping away at it, but don't take it for granted.
Never will. Thanks, Al.